Hello and welcome to End Goals, an LCMS Youth Ministry podcast. I'm host Reverend Mark Keesling, and I'm with DCE Juliana Schultz. We are here to bring parents, church workers, and lay leaders discussions and resources to help your youth ministry meet its end goal, which is young people who are disciples of Jesus Christ for life. Today, we're going to talk about helping you to consider church work as a profession.
There are many ways that every Christian can serve the church and share the gospel. We call this vocation. We talked about it in our last episode. And we are so grateful for the many volunteers who take time out of their busy schedule to help lead programs, to lead boards, to have other leadership roles, to be supportive adults and more. I know, as somebody who was a church worker in a congregation for a long time, just how incredibly important all of those volunteers are and how grateful we are for the ways in which they serve. The church wouldn't function without all the lay leaders who care for the church and its people.
Absolutely. And obviously, too, our congregations are blessed with professional church workers, too. People who God has called into ministry and dedicate their time in leading God's people, serving God's people, keeping us focused on Christ and all things. And we're so blessed by that. Christ provides workers for his church, and he calls them into church work locations through his people as well. And this includes pastors and DCEs and teachers and deaconesses and more. Set Apart to Serve is an initiative of the LCMS to recruit these church workers, as you know, we've talked about in a lot of different contexts, too. Yeah. We love to hear the stories of how people are invited to consider church work, maybe given an experience that opens their eyes to the blessing it is to serve Christ's church, and also how those relationships get formed over the forming and training and just the learning and having time in God's word and how the Holy Spirit works through that. And it's just amazing to see young people and people of all ages step into those careers to serve the church and God's people.
Yeah. And if you go back, you got to find the episodes. We both talk about our stories, how we ended up in church work as church worker kids, how our parents ended up in church work, right? So there's been many, many good stories over the last 100 or more episodes of that. But we want to talk specifically about what that recruitment process is looking like from our synodical headquarters. So joining us today is Reverend Dr. Jim Bannock. He is the executive director of LCMS Pastoral Education. In this role, he encourages spiritual character, confessional, physical, emotional, and intellectual development in LCMS pastors and other church workers. He and his wife, Myrna, live in St. Louis and are blessed with 4 grown children and 5 grandchildren. Dr. Panic, thanks for coming.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
So we get to hear really briefly in that episode or in the intro. Tell us more about your vocations, your roles, if you've ever been connected to youth ministry and other things that bring you joy.
Well, first of all, the introduction, I'm up to 10 grandchildren.
Oh, wow. Oh my goodness. Awesome. That was the last time you were here just 3 years ago.
That's great.
My word.
And the latest was 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
That's awesome. Baby girl. So we're very, very excited.
That's great.
Oh, what a blessing.
If we could show pictures, I'd show you pictures.
Yeah.
But that's one of my greatest joys, actually, is my family.
Yeah.
And that is my wife and all of my 4 children are married, and then the 10 grandchildren. They're all very involved in the church. None of them are church workers, needless to say, and I'm the church worker recruiter guy. But they're very involved. And so my vocation as husband and father, you know, my wife and I have devotions every morning at breakfast time. And our prayer always is, Lord, may our children and their spouses and grandchildren know Jesus Christ and have eternal salvation. So, I mean, that pours out into what I do every day then, and whether it's Set Apart to Serve or pastoral ed or hopefully with even my extended family and friends. So I would say those are my greatest joyful vocations. As you said, I'm executive director for pastoral ed. I work with the seminaries as well. And as of late, last 4 years or so, also executive director for Set Apart to Serve.
Awesome. Well, we get to see you in some contexts. You come out to youth lead, connect with the youth gathering, national, other things. What do you love working with maybe young people in particular, whether it's in your career vocation or maybe in your congregation or other places or when you've been in the parish setting and other situations? What do you love working with young people?
Yeah, a number of things. You know, I was parish pastor most of my pastoral career in North Dakota in one congregation. I just absolutely loved the youth. They bring an energy, and I've also noticed even like working with youth lead even today or my ministry many years ago, they're serious about their faith. And I think that that's just exciting to see that. They're serious in conversations. If I sit down and talk, like at Youth Lead, at lunch with them and start talking to them about their faith or where they're going to go in life, you know, it's this is a serious matter to them, a joyful matter, and they're excited and such. So I that's what I would say. In my own congregation, I've just been noticing lately, I'm at Our Savior in Fenton, and there's not a lot, but there's more and more younger families now. As a matter of fact, so as you're sitting in communion and the hymns are all done, you're watching the people, right? And I'm noticing these young moms and dads bringing their children, you know, they have 2, 3, 4 children. And I approached one just the other day and I said, you know, we've never met, but I see you every Sunday here and you're bringing your, I think, 2 children and 1 on the way. I said, tell me why you do that. Why do you come here? I said, it's not easy to bring little children to church. And he said, we want them to know Jesus. And so I think from the little kids that I, you know, that family I talked to the high schoolers, you know, there's several high school children at our church, and I'll go to them and just have conversation with them, not necessarily talking about church work. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think that's the very first question you should ask them. Sometimes I do, and because they know me. You know, it's just fun talking about their ideas and their hopes and aspirations. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fantastic. So we have people who are listening to the episode who might not have a full picture of what we're talking about when we say church work or church worker. Most people are going to know the role of the pastor, at least the public parts of it, right? They're going to know what they see that a pastor does. But can you give us an idea of all the different kind of called and commissioned roles in the LCMS?
Right. So first of all, we don't want to discount all people who work in the church, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And there are many volunteers, you especially dealing with like youth volunteers, but I mean, there's the church administrator, there's mm-hmm. IT people, mm-hmm. Music people. They work in the church, no right. doubt, and they're fully committed. But especially like with Set Apart to Serve, we're talking about this kind of special category in the Missouri Synod called ordained and commissioned mm-hmm. workers, mm-hmm. right? And these are full-time workers who go to school to work full-time in the church. They're certified by the Missouri Synod. Or they're certified by their university, and they work in the Missouri Synod. So, as you said, Pastor, we all know that one. That one actually is mandated by Christ himself, mm-hmm. the office of the Holy Ministry, who preaches, teaches, gives pastoral care every day to his people. There's also the Lutheran school teacher, an extremely important vocation. Lutheran school teachers have been around in Missouri Synod since 1847 when we started, and before right. that. They're so important. They have our children every single day mm-hmm. teaching the word and also, you know, academics teaching mm-hmm. them for life. We also have the director of Christian education. They do a number of things. As you know, I'm guessing you talked about that mm-hmm. Here on this show, but often working with youth, but oftentimes just the whole education mm-hmm. from, you know, cradle to grave in the congregation, excellent workers. We have a director of church ministries, used to be called lay ministry. That's out of Concordia, Wisconsin. They're very much like a DCE, mm-hmm. but in Concordia University, Wisconsin's version of it. They actually have a growing program mm-hmm. As well. Deaconess is for, you know, I have to always say this because I get in trouble sometimes. Pastors are men only. Deaconesses are women only. And deaconess also teaches in the congregation, oftentimes connected with mercy mm-hmm. care. Maybe it's to children, to women, to elderly adults, disabled. I mean, there's just a number. I didn't even name them all. So this deaconess is the director of Christian outreach, helping our congregations really think about and do witness outreach evangelism, which is very important. Mm-hmm. There's the director of family life ministries, helping us think about mom, dad, mm-hmm. Single parent homes, children in the home, just the dynamics of family and faith formation in the family. and connected to the congregation, of course. And then there's director of parish music. We have a lot of volunteers in music who are excellent, you know, musicians, organists, pianists, choir directors. But we also have this commission worker called director of parish music. And he would, you know, whether play organ or piano, lead the music, direct choirs, handbells, again, from depending upon the setting, if there's a school or not, children, adults, and everything in between.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, we love when we're out at events or online or other places, we hear a lot about Set Apart to Serve. So it's been great to see a church-wide initiative around this. Why was that important to start that? And like, maybe what's behind us really as a church body coming together to talk about church work recruitment and formation and placement of these great workers?
Great. I mean, so this is only, what, a half hour?
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, maybe short version. The whole story.
You want the Reader's Digest.
Right.
So I guess it really started about 5 years ago, where a number of people got together, leaders in the synod, and said, you know, we're running into a church work shortage. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that got our attention once again. The greatest shortage in the Missouri Synod right now, number one is Lutheran school teacher. Number two is the pastor. But all of them, we're short on all of them. It was very interesting that when we first, even before this got into like convention resolution, this was like the president of Synod and of our universities and seminaries. Why are we doing this? Why is it so important that we form and recruit church workers from, you know, baptism all the way on up? And it's the answer from those gentlemen, and which has been our theme all the way through, is this is about salvation. Mm-hmm. It's about eternal life. Mm-hmm. Now, anyone, any Christian can talk about Jesus, teach in the home, or share Christ with the neighbor. But these workers that we just mentioned are full-time. They commit their entire lives, you know, 24/7 to preaching, teaching, sharing the word of God in one way or another. For what reason? For saving faith. So that our children and grandchildren, family, friends, and all God's people know Jesus Christ. Interesting enough, though, we've been crying for church workers, guests, since when? 1847. I did this work myself. Every single convention
right?
in the Missouri Synod, I think except one, unless I missed something, said, we need to do something about getting more church workers. Mm-hmm. And there were several reasons for that through the years, whether there be a war or I mean, just different reasons, you know, men going off to war. We need more female teachers at the time, and just a number of reasons. But the church work shortage got our attention. But it's really about Jesus Christ and eternal salvation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So if I'm looking at my youth group on a given Wednesday or Sunday, and I'm getting to know them, or I'm bringing them to a big event this summer, I'm getting to know them. What kinds of things might I be looking for in terms of maybe qualities or gifts? To say like, hey, that kid, that person might be a professional church worker in the future?
I think that's a great question. And so first of all the way from, we say infant baptism, but even at conception, because we say mom and dad should have baby in, in the womb, in the word, right? So already we're starting to form and shape our children, regardless of who they are, first of all, in the word, and then eventually church work. But as they grow and mature, I don't know what age the magic age is, whether it's grade school, junior high school, or middle school, I guess they call it now, high school, you're starting to identify some qualities, right? They love the word. They love coming to church. They love the study of the word. They love being in youth group. They love being leaders in the youth group. So word and sacrament, you can see that they just have a real interest in that. There are other qualities as well. Just they're living out their baptismal life, you know, their sanctified life. It's no one's perfect. I mean, as a teenager, I don't want everything I did revealed. And so we're not looking like for the perfect child, but we're looking for somebody whose faith means something to them, right? They, they want to live as baptized children. We want people who love to learn as well, because especially in these vocations we just mentioned, there's study involved in that. Sometimes it's difficult, but it's exciting study. So just a number of things. But with all that said, we don't want to discount anyone. I mean, it could be Johnny, who's always in trouble, who might make the best pastor someday, or a Lutheran school teacher, or DCE, or whatever it is. So something that I think is important, maybe this is something you were going to ask, but I'll say it anyway, is just the relationships that are built. It's not just we're always looking for qualities in the youth, but we have a responsibility on our own as volunteer youth workers or pastors or parents. And that is just building a relationship. We do a number of surveys and set apart to serve. And kind of a concerning one as of late was we asked lay leaders, are you having conversations with youth about considering church work? The answer that came back to us with several people said, not only are we not talking to our children about church work, we're not talking to them. And that's, I mean, that's just kind of sad. But for one reason or another, either we're afraid to talk to youth, or we don't know what to talk about, or there's nothing, you know, sinful or devious about it. But I guess I would just really encourage us, not only are we looking for characteristics in our youth, but in ourselves, just get to know these kids, get to know what they love, their sports, their music, their family life, what's on their heart and mind, what are their concerns about the world and the future. And out of that grows a wonderful relationship where we very much may say to them, you know, I think you'd be a great DC. I think you'd be a great Lutheran school teacher. Let me journey with you through that.
Besides those conversations, what are some other things maybe you're finding or focusing on with Set Apart to Serve that are other ways, steps, resources that would encourage a young person to consider church work?
Yeah, very good. All of our resources have been tested, like through pilot projects out in the field, whether that be with laity or parents or Lutheran school teachers or DCEs. Not every DC is testing our material, just in case someone's saying, well, I haven't been a part of that. But we do try to get a good spectrum of individuals. And so the resources that are on our website, I personally just think they're really excellent. I guess I'd have to say that, but I really do think they were. If I were a pastor, I'd look at them and say, hey, these are pretty good resources. And if you go to the website, they're divided by vocation. You know, there's a bunch of resources for pastors. There's a bunch of resources for commissioned workers, a bunch of resources for youth workers, for districts, for parents, for laity. Many of those resources are the same in all those categories. But if I'm a lay worker, a youth worker, I can go to that column and see them. And so there are resources about from little on up, how do we start forming the faith, right? It doesn't take a rocket scientist, but sometimes we just need reminding. Have them in the Word, you know, take them to Sunday school, family devotions, and so on. Other resources are teaching vocation. From little on up, we have a resource out with Concordia Publishing House, a curriculum, and that begins with preschool. And especially with vocation, it's not necessarily going to, my wife teaches preschool and I hear stories about three-year-olds sometimes. It's not that you're going to go to them and say, I think you should be a pastor. Although you may, as I go to my grandkids and say that. It's just one of the things is teaching them vocation, you know, who we are as God's children in baptism. And if a pastor walks by, you know, that's Pastor so-and-so, and he preaches God's word to us. As they get older, we start talking about the church work vocations, especially the ones we mentioned here just a few moments ago. And so we have those resources of how to talk to kids at various age levels about vocation, about their faith, but also then considering church work. We have mentoring programs. We have job shadowing programs. We have resources just for parents. How do you sit down at home and talk to your children about their faith and about church work? The same with, you know, youth workers or pastors, just different guides. There's Q&A about, mm-hmm. okay, now I'm starting to think about college, or what university to go to. Mm-hmm. How do I afford this university? And by the way, all the universities are coming right. way down.
Right.
They're working so hard, not only with Set Apart to Serve, but on their own as well, mm-hmm. Of just making it very affordable for our youth to be church workers.
Yeah. One of my, I would highly encourage you, we'll put a link to the website in the show notes. I love, you have a booklet that talks about all right. the different church works, super simple. So if you're like, I don't remember all the ones that he talked about at the start, you have to listen to the episode a bunch of times, you can go, and that can kind of give you some idea.
Great.
When you're talking to what, you know, we've got some great Bible studies in there too.
That's our most used resource, by the way, is the 8 Vocations booklet.
Great. Right. Yeah. Well, I just think sometimes, I mean, we hear it through, maybe it's an event like a youth gathering or youth lead too. And I think churches sometimes do this on their own. Like so many congregations maybe don't have a history of having a DC, or they don't have a Lutheran school. And yet you got someone who, I know this was like my sister's case. She's a Lutheran teacher. We didn't have a Lutheran school growing up, but she knew, I want to teach and I want to talk about Jesus. So, and to be
it's
able
a good
to have,
combo.
Luckily I had a mom that was a Lutheran teacher yeah. and was able to say, well, there's a way to do that. And so yeah. let's keep talking about that. And so I think some people who maybe don't have that history, or their church doesn't have it, that those booklets are so helpful to be able to say, here's, let's have a conversation about, we may not have it here, but we've right. got a church body who does provide that, and be able to encourage them that way. So I think it's really helpful.
The booklet actually came out of like the National Youth League where I was at, and I was talking to those kids like 4 years ago, whatever it was. And we were new at this, and they know it, we still don't know everything, but there was a lot to learn. And I was talking to a group of high schoolers in youth lead and talking about being church worker. And there was a senior high boy raised his hand. He says, we know about pastor, but what are all these other church workers?
Right.
And that
right.
just hit me like, wow. And just what you said, somebody may be in a rural setting or a place where there aren't DCEs or Lutheran school mm-hmm. teachers. Mm-hmm. And we can show all of our youth, hey, there are lots of great ways to serve mm-hmm. full time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've heard that story over and over of exposure to a new kind of church mm-hmm. worker, or that conversation. People can jump into these having never seen them in action before, mm-hmm. but knowing that God, you know, put those gifts and skills in them, and that's their heart. And I love, I've been hearing a bunch of stories lately of people taking their youth on trips to different Concordias, doing Concordia tours, as a way to encourage them to think about Concordias, whether they're going into church work or not. So lots of different ways that you can help young people conceptualize, think about, mm-hmm. you know, pray and ponder on whether or not that's a future profession for them. But there's another group that I don't want to lose out on in this conversation, and that is, it's possible that there's a lay leader listening to this and saying, oh, I wish somebody had said that to me when I was in high school, because that looks really interesting. So are there paths for people who are thinking about becoming church workers as second careers? You know, we're grownups now, but are there ways to get into church work now?
Yes. Last year, we really focused and zeroed in on second career, and we're still really learning, and we're building out resources now. For pastors to become a pastor, to become a DCE, all those. I'll answer your question, but I'm going to kind of go about this a little different way. For instance, we went to the seminaries and we said, we want your second career students who are actually in the seminary right now. We went to both seminaries and did this, and we did a journey map with them. Mm. And we looked at their, first of all, we asked them what their journey was, you know, components like consideration of becoming a pastor mm-hmm. in this case, to contemplation, to making the decision, to enrolling, to actually moving at the seminary, to actually being in the seminary. And then we asked questions under each of those categories, you know, who were you in most contact with at the time? What were the greatest mm-hmm. barriers mm-hmm. at the time? And we had 4 questions altogether.
Mm-hmm.
First, we had the men, then we fed their families, and seminary families have a lot of kids, so we bought a lot of pizza. And then we kept just the wives, mm-hmm. and we actually learned more from the wives mm-hmm. than the men. And so what we had learned from that journey mapping, now we're just starting to put together resources so that we can put that out into the congregations. And so if it's the board of elders or the pastor or lay people, they can say, you know, we've got some answers that other people have said will make this journey easier for you. So so there's that. And we're doing that for, we're looking at that for the other vocations as well now too. It just takes a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. So there's a number of ways. If somebody's asking that question right now, I would ask them probably just to go, not just, but to contact the Concordia mm-hmm. universities or the seminaries. But here's some things that they'll be looking at. One is there are a number of online resources, especially for second career individuals. And they will share with you what are those online programs look like. Some of them are just, some second career people just want to go to the Concordia and study there or to the seminary there. Seminary would be a pastor, deaconess, right? And then there's also this thing called colloquy, which is that would take another 2 hours to talk about. The colloquy program in all areas, whether it's ordained or commissioned, is under the auspices of the first vice president of synod. And we're working with him and with the CUS system of, first of all, colloquy is very confusing. And so how do we make this less confusing? How do we send the same and correct message to all parties across the synod? So we're working on like a little tutorial video with Peter Lang. And no offense to Peter Lang or to me, but we said, we don't need an old talking head in these videos. We need somebody kind of young and vibrant and looks really good on video. And so that's all what we're working on. We're looking at resources, a Q&A, so colloquy, online, residential. And we have a lot of second career. We have a lot of individuals right now who are contacting us saying, hey, I'm considering second career teacher or pastor. What do I do? So,
and great. There's some huge, I mean, as somebody who was in ministry, who's worked with second career people many, many times, like there is a huge vibrancy and depth of understanding of what the world is like and how to minister.
Wisdom, knowledge,
so many gifts when somebody hears that call of maybe later in life.
Exactly.
And does that. So one final question. Hey, how can we support our current church workers and encourage them in their longevity?
That's really important. And set apart to serve, one of the questions we asked is, are you talking to kids about church work or youth about church work? We asked that of our current church workers. And it was 4 years ago, about 48% said, yeah, we are, which meant 52 are not. And so we asked, why are you not? And there were a number of reasons, but one answer that kept coming back is, how they were treated, how they felt about their current vocation, a lot of stresses and trials and such. By the way, that number has moved from 48% to 88% in the last 4 years.
That's awesome. That's great.
Has. Yeah. However, we are working with worker wellness in Office of National Mission, Concordia Plans, the district presidents. And we said, we have got to address salaries of our church workers, how they are treated as baptized children of God. Sometimes I think we feel we can just say anything to a church worker and he or she can handle it. Well, I mean, they have feelings too. And so how we treat them, boundaries. So we're working on a number of resources as well. And with our district presidents and so many things go into that. I would just say, care for, pray for your current church workers. Treat them well as you yourself would want to be treated. So anyway, that's something I think we just need to be aware of as we're moving forward all together in this life of this church.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for all the work that you do. Encouraging young people, certainly as we think about youth ministry, but all of God's people to consider church work, to certainly pray and support our church workers, continue to recruit and form them. Such important work. So thank you for all your dedication and time that you put on behalf of church workers who are going to support our young people and support our lay people who also encourage our young people too. So thanks for all your work.
Well, you're welcome. And we're actually doing it all together with so many people across the synod.
It's always great to catch up with Dr. Bonnick. I love the stories, I mean, that he gets to hear from the church body as they ask good questions. I mean, we know we talk about just when we interview people on the podcast, hear how God works through his word, through his people, through experiences to form people, get people to think about church work, and then to go through those steps, to be trained, be in relationship with others, and then to serve God and his people. We're so blessed by God's work through that, to have those pastors and commission ministers that just do so many ways to serve our youth, but also all of us. And so it's just time to give thanks for them. I'm going to give thanks for the many stories that that God provides for us to hear about as he continues to call people into church work.
Yeah, it's amazing to see how, you know, both the set apart to serve, but then collectively across our synod, how we've really worked to lower some of those
barriers
right. for young people to consider that, you know, both with it, you know, Concordias that are really taking down their tuition costs, you know, the seminaries, which are now no tuition.
Work on colloquy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Colloquy becoming so many options. And I think encouraging young people to say, like, hey, there's a church worker shortage, which means job security, right?
Right?
And their work with congregations to say, like, how do we do worker wellness well? How do we make sure that when we have church workers that we are caring for them, that we're encouraging them, that we're making sure that they're taken care of. So many great things. And I know he was at Youth Lead and such a fun time for him to get to share. And for us to hear for some young leaders, both young leaders who have other career paths in mind, who are like, hey, this is maybe not the direction I'm going, but how can I still support? Can I serve as lay leaders? And as I said at the top of the show, just how critical that work is to have solid lay leaders in our congregations. But then, you know, the few that are saying, hey, yeah, I'm thinking about that. And being able to kind of expose them to a variety of different kinds of church workers who were all there as adult leaders. And let them talk and share about what their experience has been.
Yeah, I'm excited for that pivot that he kind of talked about a little bit. I know they've been working on it for probably, I mean, he said for a while, I think it's been good over a year where I think they said, like, here's another thing we want to talk about is how do we help the second career folks think about church work careers too, as they get a little maybe taste doing youth ministry or some other things, volunteering or part-time, whatever it might be, and kind of whets their appetite a little bit for more and how God uses that too to bring people into opportunities to serve. So, and as you said too, thankful for the institutions, you know, that are finding ways to engage with those students, and whether it's distance learning programs or other ways that that takes place, as they continue to grow in, I guess, probably around their experience, but also knowledge too, and to be able to take that on is just awesome. So thankful for all the efforts taking place there.
Right, and you and I both know the power of that conversation with that young person.
Yes.
I came in before college, but just ever so last minute, right, Mark? You were out in the career field. I mean, before that conversation really kind of hit its mark, and so it's not just one time, right?
Yeah, right.
It's a bunch of conversations over time that can feed that.
Yeah, as God used all those times, I think of, you know, people in my life growing up that would ask the questions. Are you going to do what your dad does? Of course, the answer is always no for years and years. And then, so.
And it's a beautiful thing. And as a church worker, just so blessed and humbled to be able to do this work. And so grateful that there is an opportunity to professionally share the gospel and to care for God's people in this way. It is a gift, and we'd encourage other people to consider it as well. So a couple of closing questions for you to consider. What young people do you want to talk to more about being potential church workers?
How can you provide opportunities or resources to help youth prayerfully consider church work careers?
And finally, how can you support your current church workers? We will continue to keep you in our prayers as you serve the church in various ways and encourage youth and adults to consider professional church work.
End Goals Podcast is a production of LCMS Youth Ministry and KFUO Radio. To find link mentioned in the episode or more about LCMS Youth Ministry, go to kfuo.org/youthministry. And find resources for youth ministry at youthesource.com. Thank you for listening and caring for the young people of our church.